The Cap'n J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap'n J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! Oh, welcome in to the Cap'n J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you here on a Deal Breakers Thursday. We got Shay, we got JR, we got you. With open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. That's our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch our show. And our Twitch is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We had it in the studio right here. Got it yesterday, the Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Cap, it's so good for you to be back here on the show after a Yom Kippur yesterday. So good that you're back from your Kippur. And so here he's back. But can I just tell you something, partner?
Yes, sir.
As you well know, being a longtime veteran of the passing scene when it comes to sports radio and working all shifts, there's nothing like the morning show shift, the early morning show shift. Not just coming on the air and being able to talk to Cap'n J Hood Nation and talk to the ESPN 1000 listeners. That's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about the unusual things that will happen early in the morning.
Correct.
Now, for someone who worked nights like you did, I know I worked nights for a long time. You know, usually I'd be coming in early in the morning, you know, 2-3 in the morning, and then you'd go to bed. So, but it's different because it's something about that 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. range where unusual things happen. Give me an example. I told you the other day, I'm coming out of our garage here, our parking garage, and I'm trying to get to the elevator. Another early morning. All right, here we go. Get the bag strapped. Do I have my phone? Phone, keys. Okay, got everything.
Lock the door.
Lock the door. Okay, do I have everything? Okay, I'm ready to go. And then there's a little guy, a security guy that works in our parking garage. And he is there as I turn to go to the elevator. He's got two bottles of vinegar. And you could clearly see it's clear liquid. One's brown and one is clear. And there's a bum that's right there sleeping in front of the elevators. Get up! Get here! You get up! You get up right now! And he's got both bottles loaded.
He's a Jamaican dude.
The Jamaican dude.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but he knows me. He goes, I've been seeing you for a long time. A long time I've been seeing you. Okay? He goes,
have a good day,
sir. Very good. Right. I was like, okay, very good. So he's seen me clearly at the old National Bank Studios in the glass, right? But he's there, Cap, and he's got two bottles, and he's trying to shoot this guy with vinegar, clearly, to get him, get up! And then they're arguing back and forth. Now I'm just standing there by my car like, will I be able to get to the elevators? Oh, God.
Right.
Will I be able to? And you know what I said? You said, you know what? I'm going to cut my losses. I'll park at 2. You know, that's what I had to do because usually it's 5. It's something higher, somewhere in the middle, right?
Same with me.
Right. But I could not park there because there's a guy that's threatening the guy with two bottles of vinegar. Now, here's a question. I've never been sprayed with vinegar. I would imagine that stings, right?
I never have been sprayed with vinegar either, but I would imagine it stings.
It also has a terrible scent. Did Mom used to clean with vinegar? I know mine did.
My mom did, yes.
With the sink, right?
Yes.
I mean, the hard places where soap couldn't get it done, but vinegar or like a Comet would be able to get that stuff
done. She's clean. My mom used to, rest in peace, Mom, I miss you. I remember bleach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, did we get a new sink? Because the sink, you know, gets stained.
Yes.
It was bright white. I said, did you get a new sink? No. I scrubbed it with bleach. Okay, then.
Smells weird, but looks great.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal.
And I guess this is what this guy was trying to do. He's trying to spray the hell out of this guy with vinegar so he could look clean.
I told you one day I got on the elevator. It's one of the higher floors. I'd rather not walk the stairs from 9 or whatever I was on.
But you could if you wanted to, man, because you're a warrior.
That's it.
Exactly, right.
I'm battle tested. That's right. I'm ready to go.
Right.
And the doors open, and I see a body under a sheet.
Oh, God.
Completely covered. Like, can't see a head, can't see feet, but it's obviously a body. And he's snoring. First, I thought he was dead.
Not snoring.
Thought it was a dead. No, it was not snoring.
Uh-huh.
Dead body. It was not. I hear.
Oh, God.
Let that elevator go. And then I hit the button and it reopened and it was the same thing. A body.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's scary,
I
man.
I took the stairs down.
That's scary, though.
Yes.
Because you don't know what that is.
I don't know what's going to jump out of there. It's like Bobby Wagner tackling the guy on Monday Night Football who ran on the field.
Yeah.
And it was, people originally thought because he was shooting off pink smoke that it was a gender reveal. It was not. As one of our fine Twitter followers let us know, it was a, what were they, protesting the slaughter of pigs.
Yes. Once again, someone radical that's trying to really show the attention of, hey, we have to protect our animals. There's a way to do that. That's not the way to do that.
Correct. And Bobby Wagner lit his ass up. Tack McKinley was headed that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Bobby Wagner, bam, take that.
To save time, also, Cap, you know, I sometimes stop at the Dunkin'. Mm-hmm. I can't get downtown. Like, you know what? I'll just go to the one in Jackson Highlands near me, and I will go there to that Dunkin'.
I got you a Keurig machine.
I know.
I've seen
it. I know. I know you did.
My friend Darren got it for
me. I am going to plug it in this weekend and learn how to do it. Honestly, God, I will. But I did stop at the Dunkin' because I was running out of time here. You know, I get up at 4, mm-hmm. and I start going through the articles. And all of a sudden, every morning, it's like, hey, dummy, you better get in the shower. Because you get so locked in on these articles, and you start to read stuff. And
I read in bed.
Yeah. It's like, oh, maybe I should try to get up now. Maybe I should go to work. So I just forget. Go to the Jackson Highlands, the Dunkin' there. And here's something that you don't know about me. Cap, I have never, and you just went through this last week almost, I've never been in a car accident. I've never been sideswiped, never been in a car accident. I'm
knocking on four mic.
Yeah. Never had one of those, JR. Never had that. But there was a guy this morning that tapped my bumper in the drive-thru, in the drive-in at the Dunkin'.
Because out on the road, when they do that, that's not a good thing.
No.
That might be intentional.
And I was wondering if that was the case in this situation. I'm just there, got the radio on, and then boom. Oh, God, what is that? Someone taps the bumper. Now, I'm looking. Now, my car door cap is too close to the wall, so I can't open my car door. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I am looking through the rear view at this guy, and it was just a guy, his hat's turned backwards, and his hands are up, you know, by his ears, and he's like, sorry, like this, JR. It's just like, I'm sorry, didn't mean to tap your bumper. Now, here's the thing. It is a city. And you know what's been going on. You watch the news lately?
Yeah.
I can't just get out like my old man would have gotten out of the old Chevy Caprice Classic and just, what the hell's going on out here? And go check the bumper. What are you doing? Get out.
Right.
Get out of the vehicle. What's your situation here? What's your address? Give me your license and registration. You can't do that.
No, because you don't know who you're doing that to.
Because my thing, Cap, is it's like if there is any damage, at least I can write down the license plate. I don't need to talk to the guy.
Right.
I'll find him. But in that situation, have you ever been there where someone tapped you and you got out of the car immediately? Have you done that lately?
Not lately, no. Thank God.
What about Angry Cap? What about old Coach Cap back in the day?
Yes, that's happened.
What about the Cap with a temper? What about that guy?
That's happened.
What happened? Tell me that.
I was at a stoplight,
mm-hmm.
and a lady was in front of me. And she decided she was too far into the intersection. I could tell you exactly where I was. I was right off Devon Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
She realizes, uh-oh, the nose of the car is sticking out to her. So I see this happening, so I back up.
Mm-hmm.
She backs up. The taillights are still in reverse.
Oh, man.
And I got a car behind me.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Going, when that light changes, she's going to drill me. And I'm laying on the horn. No response.
Bam! Oh. You've got to have some PTSD from that because it happens often. Someone's got it in reverse and not realizing it, and you are the car right behind them.
And you're screwed.
Yeah. JR, that's a thing, right? I mean, you see the backup lights, the reverse lights, and it's like, please, will they recognize to put it in and drive for God's sake?
And there's nothing you can do. It's not like you can get out of the car and go knock on their window. It's going to look awful if you get out of the car, right? So, yeah, you just got to sit
right
there and
they're
wait for
they're going to think you're attacking them, and all of a sudden, who knows if they got concealed carry and...
Oh, I didn't realize. I thought he was trying to carjack me, so I shot. No, so I don't want to get shot.
So your advice to me is that, hey, don't get out of the car if someone taps your bumper, because I was not happy that it happened.
Correct. Did they do damage?
I looked back there. I didn't see anything. It's the usual damages back there. The damage of my own.
Correct. It is what it is.
It didn't look like there's any new scuffs. That's the point.
Right.
Snarling in your days on 8 Mile. Any issues with driving?
Yeah, you and Eminem when you're out cruising around together.
You know, I actually had something happen yesterday pulling onto my street. I was parking my car, and my street's really tight. So, the parking spots street side are super small, and all we have is street parking. So I'm pulling up into a spot, and I'm trying to get as close as possible to the car in front of me so that I'm not blocking anything behind me. Mm-hmm. And I end up tapping the back bumper of that car. And I go, well, at least it's parked. Nobody's in it. I didn't do any damage. I can just back up. I see the door open. Mm-hmm. And this little woman gets out. And I didn't know there was anybody in the car. And she gets out. She taps on my window and starts yelling at me for bumping her car. So I got lucky. I got out. There's no damage. It doesn't look like anything happened. I got away with it. She ended up being very nice. But for a moment, my soul left my body.
Oh, wait a minute. Just for a second, your soul left your body, right? That's something you didn't share that. I didn't know because I'm glad that you were not hurt.
Well, I didn't think it was a big deal. You know, she ended up being very nice. It was just a tap and she was fine with it. But it was like there was a moment where I hit it and I was like, well, nobody's in it. And then she opens the door and I didn't see her at first and my heart stopped.
Oh, man. I mean, Cap, that could have been bad for Shay.
Yes.
And you know Shay's temper. You're horrible. You're a terrible driver.
And that's all in lowercase letters.
Wow. Nobody knows what that means.
You do not. We've said it a billion times.
Yes.
You do not write with any type of punctuation or with capitals.
That's pulling a Young, trademarked by Danny Zetterman.
Is that a Young thing? Do all young people do that?
My kids don't do that. My kids are younger and hipper than that guy.
My wife has it the same way.
I'm made fun of for texting incomplete sentences all the time by my children.
But why?
All the time.
What's wrong with a period in
it? Dad, you sound old.
You are old.
No, just because you start your sentence with a capital letter and end with a period?
I want to shave.
He doesn't need to shave. He always skews young. He goes to all these young concerts. He's hipper than everybody else in the room. He is.
He is pretty hip, dude.
Yeah, because they just say, hey, he's the old timer. And, like, JR is really, like, 34.
He said he saw Iron Maiden last night. I said, JR, that's no way to talk about your wife.
Oh!
Wow. Wow, Shay. It's on now.
Oh, man. So my partner has some pent-up thoughts. You know, you give him a yom capper, and all of a sudden he comes up with these new thoughts about the Chicago Bears after reviewing the film.
I did. I did my services. I fasted. I was good. I asked for a good, healthy year for everyone near and dear to me, which you obviously are significantly involved in my life.
Good Lord! Can I get the sunset? Hurry up! Come on, Thursday Night Football! We got Major League Baseball! Come on, Lord! Lower the sun! Lower the sun! Let's get the sunset now!
Oh, man, I was getting hungry around 4 o'clock. I'm like, all right, 2 hours. I got two more hours.
Yeah, say it with me now.
That's it.
State of the art.
State of the art.
Say it with
Soda
me now.
Would have been very pleased. I weighed in yesterday and lost like a pound and a half. Because I didn't eat.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I did put on, after I got done with all my responsibilities, I was around the house.
Book of Life.
I put on, yes, hopefully.
3 pounds of Kugel.
I don't like Kugel. I don't eat that. Anyway, when we come back, I put the All 22 on.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a lot, like 2 hours of tape yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. And it's not all on the old line.
We'll talk about the Bears coming up next on Cap and J-Hood. forget, if it's not the ESPN Chicago app, go to Twitch to watch the show and listen to the show. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on this Deal Breaker Thursday. So glad that you're in today, Cap. So we're getting ready for the Bears and the Minnesota Vikings. That'll be the next game for the Bears. And so there's still issues with this team. And it's so funny. It's not like we're talking about an 0-4 team. We're talking about a 2-2 team. But you just knew that coming into the season, there'd be question marks, negatives, holes, and a few positives. But, I mean, you got a chance to kind of review the All-22. What did you see?
So going through the All-22, look, I'm not going to fool anybody. The offensive line's not good. It is absolutely not good. That said, of the 16 times Justin has been sacked, not all of them are on the offensive line. He is not taking easy throws and making them. I watched the tape yesterday. I talked to two people in the league who watched the tape and broke the tape down. And a lot of the notes that I have and then checked with them said, here's what I'm seeing. What do you think? 100% agree. Mm-hmm. I heard Tommy Waddle rather eloquently talk about this on radio. And I was on television talking about this. He is struggling mightily because he is not taking easy throws and making them. They ran a set where they call it a basketball play. You got two receivers to the right. If one of the defensive backs is playing six or more yards off, you're going to take the easy throw. You got an extra blocker, and you take the yardage the defense gives you.
Mm.
He looks right at the open receiver. That is a play design concept that comes from the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Luke Getsy brought it with him with Andrew Janoco. Aaron Rodgers turns and makes that throw, whether that's to Romeo Doubs or Devontae Adams when he was there, or whoever it is, Alan Lazard, and they pick up chunks of yards. Justin looks right at the open receiver. Pump, doesn't make the throw. Runs into sacks. Braxton Jones is absolutely in over his head right now. He's not strong enough. He doesn't have a big enough base. He's a fifth-round rookie for a reason. Mm-hmm. He's not ready to be a starting left tackle.
It's going to take time.
Time, mm-hmm. Exactly. Sam Mustapha is an undrafted free agent. Undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
He battles. He works hard. People are all over Sam Mustapha. He stinks. He's an undrafted free agent trying to block Dexter Lawrence, who I don't know what his salary is, but I guarantee you it's huge. He was the 17th pick in the first round. He's one of the more dominant interior linemen in the sport. I'm shocked, they're shocked, that our Mustapha can't block that dude. When he's got his head between his legs trying to snap the ball and then come off the ball and handle an absolute animal that's across the line from him.
Yeah, that's quite a skill set. It's hard for any center to be able to do both of those things and do it well.
Correct.
When you get a good one, you keep him for a long time.
Justin Fields is struggling because, A, he's got the worst wide receiver room in the National Football League. The worst. He also has PTSD because he gets hit a lot. For almost 49% of his dropbacks, he's getting pressured or sacked or hit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's missing a lot of throws, man. He is not taking opportunities that are there to deliver the football. Cole Kmet, nice young man, works hard. He's strong. He ain't a tight end, man. To this point, can he get better? I don't know. It's year three. He's not a very good receiver. Not a very good football player. As a blocker, he's a good blocker.
Well, let's
turn him into a fullback.
Well, let's put a pin in that with Cole Kmet. So how do you know that he's not a very good tight end based on what we saw from his days with Nagy? No one was getting the ball under Nagy. Not even Allen Robinson, the biggest target. Are we sure that Cole Kmet is a bust? Are you sure that's the case? Because look what he's doing now. For someone that should be in the passing game, Fields is not getting the ball or Getsy's not getting him the ball. So he was pretty much, because Jimmy Graham was there shadowing Cole Kmet, overshadowing Cole Kmet, he was able to get footballs. And now he's a blocking tight end. So how do you know? unless you give him, put him in a position to succeed without Jimmy Graham around him, without him being, you know, a blocker, how do you know he can't be someone good?
To this point, again, could he get better? I hope.
Now as a blocking tight end, he can't.
They need the help blocking. They cannot. Wink Martindale, who is the D coordinator of the Giants, he was with the Ravens before. He handled Justin last year. He left and went to work for Brian Daboll. They have a relationship. Mm-hmm. Wink Martindale put eight. Just turn the tape on. There's no bias here. The tape never lies. Turn the tape on. 99% of the plays, Wink Martindale has eight guys in the box. He goes, I'll take a shot that you don't have a receiver that's going to consistently beat me. Stop with this. Darnell Mooney's a number one. Darnell Mooney's not a number two. Well, okay. He's a number three.
Go back to answer my question about Cole Kmet before you move
can't
on.
Can't get any separation.
How do you know? If he's blocking, how can – I mean, there is no separation when you're in the passing scheme as a blocking tight end.
When he goes out, he gets no separation. He's not that guy. He's just not. Yeah. I just don't think he's a very good football player. As a blocker, he's fine.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to be put in the opportunity for that.
He's had.
Well, I mean, how many plays are they calling? How many targets for Cole Kmet, really, with this quarterback, with this offense, or the Nagy offense? I mean, listen, you could just give him an incomplete. I would not give him an F.
I'm not telling you he's a failure. He's a very solid blocker. He is not going to threaten anybody in the pass game like a Travis Kelce or some of these other. He's just not.
Well, not with this iteration of the Bears and not the Nagy Bears. I mean, it's easy to say when we were all complaining the last few years about how no one was getting the football and how it was just a terrible offense under Nagy. And now in this regime under Getsy, well, they're running the hell out of the football and they need to have blast in game and they got to have Kmet there to block. So, again, until you give him an opportunity, I don't know what Cole Kmet is. I just know he's not long for this football team, but I'm not stamping him a bust or an F until we actually see him get targets. That's a safety valve that should be easy for Justin Fields. A 5 or 10 yard pass?
He does not get separation, Jonathan. Okay. He does not. You go out there. There are several times I paused the video and I went, oh, he's not open. He's not open. He's not open. He's not open. Take the check down. He doesn't even take that. He starts to run. He's going to get himself killed. This kid cannot get hit as much as he's getting hit. And then when there are open receivers, easy throws. I'm not talking about going down the field and everyone's outraged. He missed Mooney down the seam. Well, apparently Eberflus and the coaches and Getsy told him, if he's not where we need him to be, which was at the other hash, I want you to check it down to the running back or run. Don't take that shot down the field. So he didn't. Now, a veteran quarterback doesn't listen to that, and Aaron Rodgers makes that throw, and it might be a touchdown. We don't have that guy yet. But he's missing easy throws that are there. Oh, that guy's there for 8 yards. Nope, doesn't pull the trigger. And by the time he's ready, oh, the guy closed on him. Throw the football. I don't know if he's scared to throw the ball and make mistakes. If he doesn't process well enough, I do know there are many times you watch, it's a one-read guy. We had him. His name was Mitch Trubisky. It didn't work out. He's a much better athlete. He's much quicker. But put the tape on. Just sign up, get an NFL Game Pass subscription. Watch the All-22. Do it with an unbiased eye. Watch this tape and tell me that you want that kid playing quarterback for you. Right now, he's not good enough.
Okay, I want you to tell me about Darnell Mooney, what you saw from that position, the wide receiver position, which is bereft of talent. We'll talk about that. And don't forget, Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. All part of the mix on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. It's a Deal Breaker Thursday at 8:35, we're going to have Deal Breakers. Oh, you never know what's going to be in that segment. There's always some weirdness in that Deal Breakers written by Shay Norling. So we'll
he's
get to
weird.
That. Yeah, no question.
A weird human. Love him, but he's a weird human.
Shot or no shot at 8 o'clock, and still to come, we'll hear from Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, getting his thoughts. The quarterback does a great job on NFL Live and ESPN programming.
Yeah, live with us. Looking forward to talking to D.O. about Justin Fields.
I have some college football questions for him. He does a great job on the college football on Saturdays because he's looking at the future quarterbacks who's going to be in this draft.
Correct.
That might be where the Bears might be looking.
Might.
So, all right. So we were talking about Darnell Mooney, the wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about, Cap, is what we talked about all summer long. July, August, into the season, we talked about looking at this roster and saying you cannot win without talent. You can hope that some of these young players can be able to help Justin Fields, but ultimately it's about the offseason next year. It's about 2 years down the line. But what about Darnell Mooney? Like, amongst wide receivers, he can't be one of the top wide receivers, but he's the best on this football team, clearly.
Clearly the best on this team. But, you know, last year we had people calling in that are saying, Allen Robinson's a top five receiver in the NFL. Stop yourself. Allen Robinson isn't a top 25 receiver in the NFL. He's okay. He's a nice player. Darnell Mooney is not a number one on any team in the NFL other than the Bears. Darnell Mooney is not a number two on any good team in the NFL. And that's not a shot at Darnell Mooney. I like him on my team. He's a number three. He's undersized. He is not going to out-contest really quality, physical, big, tough corners. He's a nice player. He runs well. He's got good hands. He's a good dude in the room. He's a number three receiver. A
couple of nice catches in the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Big-time throws by Fields and nice catches.
That throw up by Fields on the 56-yard gain?
Yeah.
Really good throw. One read.
Yes.
Step back. Let him get down the field and put it up.
The readjustment by Mooney, too, to make sure he caught that ball.
No question.
Yeah.
Because you saw the D-back of the Giants. If you run it back, he's got his hands on his head like, how the hell did he catch that?
Right.
Darnell's a nice player. Stop with the illusion that Darnell Mooney's a one. He's not. If he's a one, your team sucks. We have a bad offense. We don't have enough talent. The offensive line, abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback is not making it any better for that offensive line. When they have five-man protection because he wants to make sure he's got receivers out in space, if they send six, the sixth guy is the responsibility of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I got him. I'm going to dump the ball right over the top. No, it gets tipped. No, he doesn't make the read. No, he runs into a sack. Justin's got to be a whole lot better. And as Tom Waddle said to me, to whom much is given, much is expected. He was the 11th pick in the draft. He's not an undrafted free agent that we're happy we gave him a chance. No. He is the 11th pick in the draft. He was a college All-American, for Christ's sake. Start acting like it.
Okay, so let's rewind the clock back to the time when Mitch Trubisky was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference between Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields is this. When Matt Nagy first became the head coach, you know what we saw? We saw a lot of shell game. We saw a lot of razzle-dazzle. Trick plays, Cap.
Yep.
A lot of it was predicated on what the defense could do. But as far as the offense, you know, I think that Nagy and the coaching staff saw what they saw in Mitch and said, okay, we're going to have to really develop him, but we're going to have to hide some stuff. People forget there was a lot of sleight of hand with that team to get to the playoffs against the Eagles and then fall short. Was mm-hmm. it not?
Correct.
Remember all those plays and, like, what's the play at the goal line, I used to call it? Was it the old refrigerator play?
Santa Slay.
The Santa Slay?
Yeah, the one they threw. What was the name of the offensive lineman who became a tight end, or he was a tight end and became an offensive lineman? I can't remember the kid's name.
Mm-hmm.
He lived up in Deerfield. Yeah, and he caught the touchdown. But everyone, wow. This Nagy, man, it is creative. It is fun.
Sure.
Those plans change.
Oh, sure. But understand the offensive guru, Matt Nagy, saw Trubisky and said, okay, we've got to be able to do a few things here. And usually bad teams are the ones that have to pull out all the tricks. But it was fun. Because the Bears were winning like this. It wasn't because they were driving down the field and Trubisky had this big arm. No, that was based on defense and running the football and trick plays that first year. Then it was on Mitch to be able to say, all right, now you got to line up and be a quarterback. You line up here and be the guy.
Bradley Soule.
Okay, so then what happened? All of a sudden, Nagy did not have trust in Mitch Trubisky.
Correct.
We do recall this.
Correct.
And this is all of a sudden during the Jewish holiday. You're off, and all of a sudden, against Atlanta, oh, God, they pulled Mitch, which I didn't think was right at the time. Like, give this guy an opportunity. You're pulling him. He got tired of Mitch. And then we went to the backups.
And we went to Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. And then,
Got hurt, and we went back to Mitch, and he got you back to the playoffs.
Yep. See, all that, right?
Beat some moribund Lions teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, he looked better. Then he became the quarterback again, and then that was it.
So here's my point. The last time we were talking about a young quarterback was Mitch, in which they hid his talent or tried to, you know, bring him along slowly. Here's Justin Fields. What did anyone expect post-Nagy to Justin Fields to be? You think that he was going to be 100% fixed? Did you think that he was going to be all-world as a quarterback? Do you think you're going to get Josh Allen this year? No. He can't be who he can be because, A, he can't be the best because of look at the weapons around him. Look at the offensive line. Look at Luke Getsy as a first-year offensive coordinator. And it's up to Justin Fields. Even though he looks confident, you know he's got condors in his stomach right now every time that he's back there because he knows he's going to get run down.
Correct.
So all those factors, Cap, when we take a look at the evaluation of Justin Fields, we see them. He's missing throws. He's in between. Should I run? Should I throw? But that's the growing pains I expected anyway. What did you expect? First-year offensive coordinator, his opportunity now without Big Red over his shoulder, no offensive line. We talked about it all summer. We looked at that depth chart and said, that's all you're going to do? Is Velus Jones going to be in the passing game? So I didn't expect much. This is no surprise to me.
Me either, but there are tens of hundreds of calls we've taken since last spring.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can win 9-10 ball games.
Oh, well.
Our friend Lee Allen, lovely Allen. He calls, he's passionate.
That they win 10, 11 games. What are you watching?
Now
the team has no talent. That is just a fact. Let me ask you a question. The Tampa Bay Bucs reportedly are trying to convince OBJ to come off injury, and play for them.
Yeah.
Where would Darnell Mooney be on the Bucs?
On the Bucs?
What number receiver?
Well, as Mongo told me about Urlacher, someone's got to play special teams.
My point.
I guess on the Bucs now, because of what it is, he'd probably be the third receiver. Got some injury, got some issues.
No shot.
But if they're healthy, I'm not sure where he's
not
fit.
Better than Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
He's not better than Chris Godwin, who they franchise tagged. He's not better than Julio Jones.
Well, as I said, third receiver.
Russell Gage.
When I say third receiver, you know what I'm saying? He'll get a couple of, you know, balls in the slot. Not like he's not going to burn it up. He's not going to be all world.
Not a 1,000-yard receiver with the Tampa Bay Bucs. Stop yourself.
I need a quick first down, 3rd and 5. Mooney, can you just stop at the sticks right there? Boom. All right. Now you got your touches. Goodbye.
Right. Go back to the bench.
Get back on special teams.
The Rams. The Rams.
Right.
The Rams are loaded.
Yeah.
Forget Cooper Kupp, who's the best in the sport, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Send him to the Dolphins, Tommy's kid Jalen, or Tyreek Hill.
Does Tommy's wife know this little side affair there?
Pre-marriage.
Okay. Oh, good. Good to know.
Pre-marriage.
Jalen Waddle would be like 40 then.
Yeah, probably right. But what I'm saying to you is, look at the Eagles. We like to compare Justin to what Jalen Hurts now is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have Devontae Smith, who they drafted number 11 overall.
Mm-hmm.
They have A.J. Brown. We don't have players like that.
Yes.
Jason Kelce, the anchor at center. Lane Johnson. We don't have those guys.
Well, we do have a Smith Marset.
Who?
I thought it was Alshon Jeffrey when I watched number 17 out there. I said, what's Alshon back? His old number. You see the wide receiver. He's the second guy on the depth chart here. You do know him, right? Marcet Smith, number 17?
I've heard his name.
Yeah, he's out there. He's got Dante Pettis, who's dropping footballs. Bayless Jones, by the way, not in the passing game. What happened there? Stop.
Yeah, there's a reason that it took him until age 25 at Tennessee. Come on. He runs well. He's going to be a nice special teamer. He's not a WR1.
No. But we know what this is, Cap. We know what this is. But you know, when you are an ardent fan, you're rooting for the blue and orange. You want the best for the team.
Yes, I do. I'm not being a hater. You know that.
Yeah.
All I'm saying to you is there's a group out there called TTNL. The tape never lies. My friend Phil. That's the philosophy you have to employ. Put it on. I beg you at home, put the tape on. Watch Justin miss throws by not taking them. Watch Justin not hit open receivers. Watch Justin not know how to evade a certain guy. Yes, when he runs for a first down, everyone gets all excited because he's a great athlete. That's not the design of what you want your quarterback to do. It's unsustainable. He will get killed.
If you're on hold, you will be on the air. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number to talk about the Bears and what they have and what they do not have offensively. Coming up next, you'll hear from Justin Fields, the quarterback for the Bears. He was interested in talking to the press, I guess. Shot or no shot at 8 o'clock on Chicago's Home for Sports. All right, Jay.
Cap and J-Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We'll call bell for you on this Thursday morning, along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on Cap and J-Hood. Thanks for being with us here this morning. Still to come, we're going to hear from our guy Dan Orlovsky to break down Justin Fields, what he's seen on tape. He's tweeted out a few things as well. Dan Orlovsky will be with us at 8:15. Make sure that you're with us here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Some thoughts from Justin Fields before we go to the phone lines, Cap. Justin Fields is up there, and he just wanted to be anywhere else besides talking to the press. He was asked about the addition of Harry.
He would, of course, be a good matchup versus smaller DBs, one-on-one. Especially red zone, just throwing up a, jump ball to him. That's one of the things he does really well. So, being able to just throw up more 50-50 balls.
So, N'Keal Harry's back.
You make the call.
Not that Harry.
Different Harry.
Not Harry Callis.
He's dead.
N'Keal Harry?
No, Harry Callis died.
Well, that would help in the
past. Several years ago.
Yeah, that will help, right? N'Keal Harry? Healthy?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you make the call.
Different Harry. Look, this kid was given away by the Patriots for a seventh-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay. He's a good blocker. We need those.
Okay, let's talk about you and your issues with the Darnell Mooney play. One of these Darnell Mooney plays. I don't get into the minutia of this. I let you and people on Twitter go back and forth about this. I don't care about the machinations of the play as much as it's just the execution of said play.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting into the nuts and bolts of I don't care. Whoever's open, hit the receiver. That's what I care about. But you, because you're an old coach and you're an X's and O's guy, you want to know why something does not work. I just want to see the execution because I'm just a fan. I don't know anything. Mooney played. Listen to his explanation. See if this makes sense. Because Courtney Cronin, for us, asked the question about Darnell Mooney in that one play. Was Mooney open or not? Listen.
Mooney ran how we ran that play last year. So the number three receiver, if we get that coverage, he would take the middle of the field last year. But this year, we're getting over to the other side of it. Like it would be 2 out of 2. And then just hitting that same landmark from 3x1. But that play, that coverage, most likely thinking, one-on-one with the back check down, and of course me scrambling. So I was just doing what I was told.
Do you watch that safety, 48 or whoever it was? Is he determined where you go with that?
Yeah, just depending on who chooses. But it's just that play, you have a lot of plays, and that play, when you get that coverage, we're thinking, most likely thinking back, check down. And then, of course, there's a wide open lane, 3rd and 8. So I'm going to go get the first down.
What do you think of the explanation?
I have no problem with the explanation. You know, you could snapshot any play where there's a receiver on and go, how'd you miss that guy? Wide open. Because he was told by his coaches, and he's coachable. He's a good kid. In that situation, check down to the back or scramble. He's not, and Mooney is not where he's supposed to be. Justin is looking for him to turn it to the right, to the hash. He's down the seam. Aaron Rodgers can improvise, step back, step in, and drop a dime into the bucket and put it in his hands. And it might be a touchdown, certainly a big gain. That's not who we have at quarterback right now.
Shay, tell me what you told me in my ear just now.
Giving out scheme info in the middle of a press conference. Are we sure that he's telling the truth there? Hey, this is exactly what we do when we run that shell. Either you're an idiot or you're not telling the full truth.
Yeah, I don't think he's giving away state secrets there. I really don't.
And even if he did, what the Bears going to do about it?
Yeah.
like even if he was, Shay, have you seen the offense lately? Give it away.
Right, but I'm just like, oh yeah, when we run that play last year, maybe we go to Mooney over the middle, but this year we're doing something a little different. I go to the check down or I scramble. Every single team that is on your schedule the rest of the year heard that answer and is now drawing up how to respond to it. Schematically.
Yeah.
You just gave that play away. That's really the truth, unless in the future when you run it, hey, we're going to Mooney.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that. In the middle of the play, it's very hard to make that type of adjustment. I don't think it's so exotic that you see the set and you go, hey, they're running the play here. I don't think so. I have no problem that he gave that kind of an answer. We ask our guys to give answers, not, well, the play was designed to move on. No, he answered Courtney's question, and I thought he did it rather eloquently. I was told that last year we ran it this way. This year we're running it differently. And I was told either check it down or run it. And that's what I did.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.